And here we go. This is Flash at dropping a coil. And with tonight, you're going to have Larry Woods and Rob Wirtz. I'm just introducing this stuff, doing the with the Dork Table Takeoff. Thanks, Grimnir. Appreciate all the help you've been. And Grim made us a nice banner, guys. So let me say the hellos to the bots and bodies, and then I'll give Larry and Rob the mic. And for your typing entertainment in the RealLibertyMedia.com chat tonight, we've got Barman, Beetle, Cowboy Tech, Grimnir, Moose Girl, Kate, Inside Chelsea, Donny, Sir, hello, honey, Duh, Frumpy, Gramsy, Java Doctor 2, Meister Brow, Rob Works, Rome's, Phantom White, Weather Dork, Phantom, Bruce Dickinson, Chaskara, Sideboard, Noodle, Dema, E-Man, and Civ, me, Flash Somebody, Frumpy Work, Guest 68574, J's Nines, J's, Pone Sauce, Smartass, The Holiest, Roger, and Z-Pix. So if your chatter's in the RLM, those are your playmates tonight. And if you're radio people, we've got Larry Woods and Rob Woods. Take it away, guys.
Thanks, Flash. Appreciate you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the first official Dropping a Coil show with Larry Woods and myself and Flash. I'd like to welcome Larry Woods to the network as a ongoing host. And I believe you wanted to talk about pyramids to start off with there, Larry.
Yeah.
With a caveat about the virus thing.
Yeah, let's go with the virus first. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, calm down. The coronavirus is killing 1.5-2% at most of the people in America. It's not going to be that bad. Even if it is that bad, we are preparing for it. Everything's all right. The common flu kills many, many, many more people than this coronavirus has so far. So just don't get too excited. Stay prepared. Get some food in the house. Hug your kids. Make them wash their hands. But you can't develop an immunity to something if you don't get out in the world. I'm not saying go out and catch the new virus, not at all. I'm saying let your kids go out and play in the mud and the dirt. Let them get dirty. Let them go out in the woods. Don't keep them tied down to that video game in the living room. Don't give them cell phones from the time they're 4 years old. Okay, that enough off my soapbox. I just think folks are taking this a little bit.
Well, I think there's an agenda behind it, and they're pumping it up and hyping it up way out of proportion.
And somebody's doing something.
It's just the next ratchet up from what they did last year. I mean, they've been doing this stuff every year, as we've talked about. You know, you've got the SARS and the bird flu and the pig flu and the dog flu and the, you know, every other kind of flu and Zika and Nika and, you know, the list goes on and on, you know. It's just the latest ratcheting up of the system.
Yeah, it's a scare
tactic. To take more control of everything.
And there's really always going to be something killing everybody off in the next day or two. That's just the way it is. People get a little bit too excited about things that they have no control over. I always tell my friends, my mind is the most evil creation that I've got when I'm thinking about things that might happen.
Right. Yeah, the imagination is much worse than the reality.
Not mine.
Yeah, well, you're
that's
weird.
Fine.
Yeah, I know. And this is my first official lockdown. I've never been locked down before. But
oh, yeah.
I'm taking one for the team. Thought you guys might like to know. Yep.
Let's go into this a little bit deeper. With all the stuff that they sprayed in the air, all the metal that made us more receptive to frequencies, and the new 5G, maybe this virus has got something to do with the 5G, because Wuhan, where it first broke out, was completely covered with 5G, and they had a terrible death rate.
Yeah, it was the first place that it rolled out in China.
Not a lot of press about that, though, guys.
But also in China, a 101-year-old lady and a 103-year-old lady lived through it.
Yeah, whoa. They survived it.
So it ain't it just hold it on the back burner for a while. When it gets bad in your city, then consider doing something different. But for now, just enjoy the what time you get with your family because of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
But they shut down everything except the stores. Ooh.
Yeah.
But that was no big deal, because that's pretty much what I go out to do, is get food.
Yeah, that's what I go out for.
Exercise. Yeah, exercise, get a little walk. And today the sun was out. People, there's other people here that aren't as panicked over this as some places. You know, a week ago I saw somebody once wear it with a mask, and since then nobody. So, I don't know.
I haven't seen anybody in a mask.
No bubble
here,
wrap.
We did
or
go
helmet.
To the store the other day.
Yeah.
And several different things were wiped out. There was no rice or beans. There was no flour. There was no powdered milk. Potato spuds, flakes.
Hmm.
You know, just the instant potatoes boxes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Those are wiped out.
Hmm.
But other than that, they had everything. They had loads of bacon. stocked up on the bacon, plenty of eggs. You know, everything else was, you know, all the produce section was, everything was there. Potatoes, bananas, everything people have been talking about.
And yeah, but you're in a smaller rural setup too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that makes a big difference right now.
I think it does, but I mean, it's just funny how certain things are gone.
Right. Here
you
too.
Know,
yeah.
There was plenty of water.
Yeah.
The bottled water, they had cases of bottled water lined up, you know, stacked up.
Well, they sorted it out here quickly because of small population. Just told people to calm down.
Yeah.
No need for any of this. And today there was bananas in the grocery here. And, you know, bananas don't grow in Denmark, so.
Yeah. That's,
what?
That's coming in.
And we're way the hell, we're at the end of the world is what I call it.
Yeah.
There's nothing here, so
there.
Things are bad, as I guess as you want to see them.
Well, as I've said many times, get the hell out of the cities.
I agree with that. That's
where it's going to be bad. I mean, not because of the virus, but because of the people. There's nut jobs that are all going, you know, helter skelter.
Okay. Well, I don't know how you guys are going to take this from the virus into the pyramids, but I'm all for a listen on that such stuff right about now.
It's all about power. All about who's got the power. And the pharaohs, the ones that we read about, didn't have that power. The original pharaohs did. But that was 25,000 or more years ago. The pyramids went through the flood. There's evidence of that. The Sphinx went through the flood. The pyramids were built when the Sahara was green, and it's turning back that direction now. That's why they're running all the tribes off of it, because the people that can buy up the land want the new forest land.
Yeah.
The pyramids were power supplies. And that,
I think it was a global power grid.
Yeah, it was. It was. All built at different times. But yeah, the Bosnian pyramid, you can read the signal out of that's coming out the top of that, or that's coming into the top of that. And the reason I say that is because the further above the pyramid that you go, the stronger the signal gets. That means you're getting closer to the signal. So it's receiving from somewhere out there. And the pyramid at Giza, let's take one of the older pyramids, the Red Pyramid. That pyramid was also an electrical generator, but that was one of the first attempts by the modern Egyptian pharaohs to rebuild a power supply. That was a pyramid that water went into it at a 45-degree angle down a straight shaft. That shaft at the bottom turned a 90-degree right angle and went into the corner of a rectangular shaft or a square shaft that made the water circulate in it, made it spin round and round, generating electricity.
Hmm.
That was the Red Pyramid. That's not the original pharaohs, but the earliest pharaohs that we talk about. There were 7 Egyptian rulers before the time of modern pharaohs.
Yeah, but what frequency did they wipe their butts on? Because they didn't have toilet paper back then.
That's what that pine cone was all about. No,
serious. I mean, they must have used something, but Grimner says, but did they have toilet paper? Rob Works. So I felt like interrupted me.
They had slaves for that.
Huh. Yeah, they had papyrus, but they just wiped it with their fingers and licked them off.
Oh, yeah, like the Mexicans do.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, don't write in, folks. I didn't say that.
Hey, this is your show, too. Wow. I'm usually the one that's harsh. Meanwhile, back in Pyramid Heaven.
I'm an American. I'm not prejudiced. I hate everybody equally.
Never assume the sale with Larry Woods.
yeah, right.
Anyway, but, yeah.
The Great Pyramid there was also an electrical generator, and the obelisks that are around were the power collecting stations. It's a gigantic earth battery connected to the earth with a water source underneath, below. Water running through granite generates electricity. All the tunnels inside of the pyramid are electrically conductive. Therefore, the light bulbs that they show, what temple is that? I can't remember the name of the temple now, but they show the light bulbs on the wall of some temple claiming that they're lotus blossoms, and that's the scent that it puts out. But they didn't find any smudges of smoke carbon on the ceilings of the tunnels.
Right.
How can they work the tunnels without light? So they had electric light. And when you shine mirrors past the 6th mirror, the light no longer penetrates. It's just a spot on the mirror. You can't say that they did it with mirrors because it didn't work that far. That's good
the distance, right.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys know a lot of stuff.
But interesting. Yeah, I didn't know about that. Have you ever heard anything about a shaft in the Great Pyramid that goes down? It's like bottomless. They can't find the bottom of it, or they don't. You drop something down it and you don't hear. It's so far down, you don't hear a sound come back up.
I haven't heard of that one. That
I don't remember where I saw it. I read about it years and years ago.
That may connect with the tunnel system.
Right. There's a topic.
Who are the people that don't want us to know about the truth about this pyramid stuff? Because I don't.
Free energy.
Right. Okay. Well. Well, what I'm saying is,
energy.
It was never a big topic in school that I remember of. They covered it real briefly, like tiptoed over. Hey, big pyramid things. Okay, look at that. Okay, now forget that. We'll go on to this.
Yeah.
But never really explained what you're talking about, the water system underneath it, sources of electricity, things that we should have been taught, we weren't taught. When did you learn them?
Gosh, when I was young. This pyramid power has fascinated me since I was about 14.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. So you pursued it, though, right?
Yeah, but now that I'm an engineer, it really fascinates me because I know how it works.
Yeah, you can
yeah.
Well, are there links you would recommend to people that are interested in what you speak about to give them a better, you know, better visual of what you're saying? Because visual helps a lot with me.
Google Pyramid Power. It's got YouTube. There are tons of videos on how a pyramid works, what it does. A third of the distance from the base to the inside, above the base of the pyramid, a third of the height, will preserve seeds.
There's craze about that back in the 70s or 80s. Everybody had the pyramid things. They were putting razor blades in it.
I used the same disposable razor for a year and a half because I kept it under my pyramid a third of the distance up.
Now, is that one word on YouTube? Because I just typed it in the notes. YouTube Pyramid Power. Because if you're listening to the show, you go to the notes. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, Pyramid Power.
We've got some smart people listening. You know how we know we got smart people listening here?
How's that?
That there's the select group on BitChute. No matter, it's a very small number. But they're hardcore. They always check out what's going on and stuff. So we have a small audience of people that apparently are a lot smarter than we give other people credit for sometimes. You know, because we're all buried underneath the fear of being called an idiot by the crowd. So you got to kind of watch what you say in public situations. Unless you want to, you know, unless you like the negative attention.
I pretty much know that everybody in the world knows a lot of stuff that I don't, and I want to know what they know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. If you got something to say, folks, call in.
But this time it's your turn. Yeah, we don't have a very big live audience because of the spontaneity. Once we get a little bit more familiar, people can depend on us. You'll get phone calls. We'll have people come to the Real Liberty chat, come looking for us. You'll see.
That's all right.
I've spoken.
Let's go on to how the pyramid works.
Take it away.
The power is generated under it in the water room. Now, there's two ways that power can happen. That room can get flooded, and the water throb against the base of the pyramid above it, which would create a frequency, the vibration needed for electricity, or it could just get the power out of the flowing water through the granite. That goes up through the conductive tunnels into the Baghdad battery room. That charges up all the batteries. They're actually capacitors. You can use them for batteries, but you can charge them as well. Those are what they powered the electrolysis in the Queen's Chamber. When they first opened the Queen's Chamber, there were mineral salts on the walls. That happens from electrolysis. Electrolysis produces hydrogen and oxygen, which whistles up through that conductive tunnel once again into the Grand Gallery, which was fitted with tuning rods. Those slots in the ceiling and the floor held boards or reeds or some form of tuning rod to get microwave frequency up into the King's Chamber. the King's Chamber has five huge blocks on it that are all perfect and smooth on three sides, but the top side on each one of them is pitted and has drill holes in it and looks terrible, but that was tuning those stones for whatever frequency that they had to get out of them. The reason the pyramid no longer works is twofold. The capstone is gone, that's obvious, but one of the stones above the King's Chamber is cracked all the way through. It no longer resonates at the proper frequency. There you go. Something else about that. Measuring from the capstones that they have found, there would be a 20 or some feet gap between the capstone and the pyramid to fit. That gap had a ring, a torus in it, that was made out of dolerite. Dolerite increases the frequency so that they could broadcast farther at a higher frequency.
Hmm.
That's what the bags, the man bags were that all the guys carried around. Those were their capacitors that they took to the obelisk to recharge. The ankh and the Horus head was the method of using that electricity. It's all there. It's all on the rocks, all carved into stone.
Yeah, if it wasn't where it was, I'd love to go see it.
Yeah, I would love to be able to travel to do that.
But, yeah, traveling is so problematic these days.
Absolutely.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Well, I like the Star Trek program because it had us all ready to be beamed up and shit. And now you can't even fly without a special ID card.
Really?
Right.
But I ain't going anywhere. Just checking in, guys. Just checking in. You're doing good. I even got like a mental visual of your explaining I've got a little bit of knowledge and I've read a little bit over the years, but I just don't know a lot. Just enough to follow what you're saying and make sense of it.
Right, right.
So I'm right where I need to be.
Larry, are you familiar with that site? I think it's in South America, but it's like a Mayan pyramid. But the grounds, if you look at it from the air.
Yes, sir.
And the pass, I mean, it's the spitting image of a circuit board.
Yeah, I was about to get into that.
Okay, well,
we do micro circuitry with our computers and cell phones and all the little tiny stuff.
Right.
They did macro. They did on a worldwide scale. That's like me. I can build a computer, but it would take a 24-by-36 room to put in all the equipment that I would have to do.
Right.
The Mayans can build a computer, but they didn't have any of the stuff that we've got today to make it smaller. They had to go on an Earth scale to use the Earth for the power, all of that. All of the tunnels under that connects every one of those sites is electrically conductive. The pyramid powered the board.
Right.
You've got your processors, you've got all the capacitors, everything's right there in plain sight. Angkor Wat is exactly the same thing. That's a gigantic capacitor system.
Okay. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
And the Japanese pagodas, they're showing us how to make a proton accelerator. They've got a central shaft that each floor is suspended on that central pole so that when the earthquake happens, that floor just rocks. And they stack them. That's exactly the way a proton accelerator works.
Huh. That's interesting. I never heard that.
All of this stuff is just in plain sight. The Anunnaki Tree of Life. Look up that picture in color, and it will show you from the different colors of vines exactly how to wire it, and that is a power supply. These things, yes, they have religious significance because the priesthood were the ones that didn't have to work, that were supported by the community so that they could study and keep this knowledge going. They went to the temples to work, not to worship.
Well, it doesn't seem like the stuff's ever been hidden, but it's been overlooked, bypassed.
We changed the meanings of things.
I just put a link in the wire.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Oh, you're talking to Larry. Wait a minute. Where'd it go? There it is.
Let's see what we got.
And if this is right, I'll throw it in the notes for the show. And what I've got for you guys, I wasn't sure what to call this segment, so I wrote Micro and Macro Circuitry from the Mayans to the Japanese.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. To the Egyptians. All right. And there's more. All right. Not to
the Egyptians.
All right. Instead.
Oh, is that the image you're talking about, Larry?
Mine hasn't completely come up yet.
Okay.
That's the image. But there are other images of that. The other ones where all the vines are going. Those all connect to different sections of that power pole in the center. And this one has got three sets of coils missing out of it.
This picture I'm looking at right now. So don't post this one, right?
Well, this is a good representation and one form of it.
Okay, then I will. I'll put a link. I'll put a copy in the notes.
Yeah.
First one I found that was in color, basically.
There are, like I've said before, every coil will do something.
Right.
And there are three or four different representations of this Anunnaki Tree of Life that are all wired correctly. If you'll follow those vines to the flowers, you'll see that that's a wiring diagram. And it's wired correctly in series and in parallel. So just check that out if you're an electrician. And some of the other ones have three sets of three coils on them, nine coils all together, that boost up the energy along the way. And on those, the vines go to the proper connection points for everything as well. So it's all there.
Well, Larry, I got kind of a strange question, man. Because I can't read this the way you do, right? So I'm looking at it. I guess the question somebody would argue about would be, well, how do I know that's just not coincidence that you can interpret it that way? Because I don't have your, I don't know what you're seeing. So how do you explain it to somebody really simple that what you just said, but in a simpler way to identify it? Because we've got a hard head audience out there that's the opposition to your concepts.
Follow the lines.
Okay.
Follow the lines and see where they touch things and the things that they touch. And each set of lines touches the same kind of thing. And some of them go into it, and some of them come out of it.
So it can't be a coincidence, because there's got to be a pattern to this.
Yeah, there's a pattern to it.
Yeah.
Whether it's electrical or not, I couldn't tell you for sure.
Yeah.
But I bet you could reproduce that particular device, and it would be a high-power generation system.
Exactly. All right. But see, a simple guy is going to argue with you because they really don't know what's going on. And that was my part in the show, is to be the simpleton that asked the dumb question. So that was the dumbest question I could think of on that one.
Take what we consider the Nazi symbol.
Oh, yeah.
That goes throughout history from the super ancients to the American Indians. It was just stolen by Hitler. That is a flywheel. That is a wheel that spins around creating sparks as it goes. That is a power source. That's the rotor in a motor.
Okay.
I see things like the rock drawings and the rock carvings of the ancients. I see machines in that. I see power supplies. I see pancake coils. I see
logos
calendars.
To video games. Because, well, maybe not, you know, well, game. No, but like this, like the sign you're just talking about, the Nazis used it. Well, I've always wondered why they went out of their way to make that particular sign so unattractive to people. Now I get it. To keep you away from what it truly is, they make it look bad. Just like they did with cannabis.
Yeah. Yeah, and they repurpose everything. They change the meanings of it. They put a religious twist on it and take science completely out. That's what the Inquisition was all about. The Roman Catholic Church gathered up all of the knowledge. They didn't kill those people before they knew everything that they knew. They tortured them to get all their information, and then they killed them. The Vatican has all that.
Success. Well, but so I did come up with a good point. Thanks. I feel better now. Because history has just been misrepresented to us. And as a group, most of us don't want to admit it. Some people argue with me about it. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about. But how can you look at the results and not figure out, well, we didn't get here by accident either. This is a planned. Mm-hmm. You couldn't fuck anything up this badly without trying really hard. Thank you, Rob.
Hey, have you ever heard of this device that Henry Ford had? He went down to South America and was trying to start a community or his own civilization thing. And I used to have a picture of it. I'm trying to find it. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, I haven't. A power device of some sort?
Yeah, it's what it looks like. It's kind of space-agey looking. Henry Ford.
Well, he had a good track record, though, because he did build a hemp mobile.
Mm-hmm.
In 1943, yeah. Bumper to bumper, they got video of him hitting it with a big mallet. Didn't even dent the paint job.
Yep. And didn't that run on hemp oil?
Yeah, the whole thing, bumper to bumper, ran on hemp and all night. In fact, what I read was his original fuel source was hemp oil. And then they had that big glut of oil in the 1900s with the Roosevelts, and that changed everything.
I'm trying to find.
You know, Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was never going to be vice president. Somebody got assassinated so he could step up and take over that job. He wasn't voted into it. But it's funny is that at the turn of the century, when he was in power in the White House, and then 30 years later when his grandson was the president, there's two oil gluts in America in those time periods.
Shows you who backed them for the elections.
And how, it only took them 30 years to get rid of him. That was pretty quick when you think it through.
We're being controlled, and it's not our governments. It's the people that tell our governments what to do.
And try explaining that to a voter sometime, will you, sport? Don't translate, because the government would never hurt them. You, sir, are a communist pinko, and you have messed up ideas. That's what they'll say.
I've lost friends over that one.
Well, you know what, Larry? I guess we're waiting for Rob to find something. But
Fordlandia, that's what it's called.
Live and let live. It's getting harder to do by the day.
Yeah, it is.
So think about it more often then. Fordlandia. You got a link, Rob?
I'm looking at it.
Oh, okay. And, put that in the realliberty.com chat for all our chatters tonight. Well, anyway, so you want to just give Rob some
There's
time.
A link. I'm not sure what else.
Oh, he found it.
I pulled it up.
I was going to try to get a story.
I was looking
out
for
here.
A particular. That's just a story about what it was. Ford tried to start his own basic civilization offshoot. It was
commune.
It was the name given to a plantation where Ford attempted to cultivate rubber in Brazil. But it very quickly became a much more ambitious project, an attempt to create an American town, an American way of life in the Amazon. That's what basically it was all about. But there, somewhere along the way, I saw an image of a device that was there that he had. And I'm trying to find that. Let's see.
Oh, so you don't want this link in the notes?
That can go in there. I mean, it's not.
It's informative. I liked it.
I mean, yeah, it's about the place that he tried to build. Mm-hmm. But here it is.
It's funny. I've made jokes about that, about the modern day billionaires. They don't do these things. That's how you know that they're just about themselves. Where's Bill Gates' land? You know, George Sorosville.
Okay.
Hey, if I was a billionaire, I think I'd do something like that. I'd have my ego, and I would have Flashville. You know, and everything in Flashville would be flashy.
I'd have Margaritaville.
Well, I'm just being sarcastic. But billionaires don't seem to have any investment in the future. They only have investment in their cronies. And I'm kind of bored of all this shit. Want to know the truth? That's why I live at the end of the world with my wife, Circle.
Here's another one.
He found something. Because Rob is a Ford Landia.
This one has a picture of the device I was talking about. It's about little bit of the ways down the page. Let's see. Yeah, it's about halfway down the page. There's a cluster of pictures there. There's three pictures on the left side, and one's a big, big flywheel-looking thing.
Is this a new link I don't see, or is this the last one you put up?
I just put it in the chat.
Henry Ford's failed town?
Yeah.
The last. That's the one you're talking about now.
That's why I can't see it. Okay.
Oh, let me put that in the wire for you.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Be easier that way. Yeah, that way I know what I'm putting in the notes.
There.
Thanks, Rob.
Now, here is a... direct link to that device picture.
That's what I was talking about. Okay.
Ta-da.
There we go.
Put that in the chat, too.
That only took 10 minutes. God, we must be ahead of the curve.
Oh.
Wow, what the hell is that?
Counter-rotating wheels.
It looks like
a magnetic coil set all the way around the outside edge.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Looks like a bank vault door or something. I don't know. I'm Jewish. I just see money and bank vault doors and shit like that. Wow, that is kind of
looking too, Larry.
No, the two kind of rotating flywheels there in the center will generate power through all of the little coils that are sitting up above that first solid line.
Right.
The second solid line is a set of magnets. One, two, three. Yeah, three magnets for each coil, and that's what made the whole thing spin. That would be one heck of a generator.
That's what he had set up down there in Fordlandia.
And it would spin by itself once you got it started.
Okay.
That particular system, I believe, would have to be started in order to get power out of it. And it looks like it's a massive generator for great quantities of power. Because of the dials on the left-hand side in the background. Those are control dials to find out how much power is coming out of each leg of that transformer, of that generator.
And this is from the 1920s, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. For the notes, so that we're semi-correct on these things.
Yeah, it's obviously some kind of power generation device. And somewhere I actually read that that's what it was. So there's some information out there. So many things I found that I can't find again.
This operates similar to a magnetic motor in a dryer. In fact, it's the same system. It's just got more coils and more magnets.
And a lot more size.
Yeah, it's huge.
Oh, yeah. Looks big. Because that would be a rail in front of that picture.
Yeah, that's a handrail right there.
Yeah.
You figure that thing from that catwalk there to the top is taller than a man. That's not even just barely over half of it.
Yeah, yeah. So. You guys play with some interesting toys.
Oh, yeah, I'm fascinated with this kind of stuff. This is something I found years ago. I mean, I had a picture of it. I had a picture that I saved, and it was actually a color picture, the same picture. I don't know if it had been colorized or what. I guess it would have had to have been colorized. But I had it for the longest time, and I can't find it now. I think I've had to rebuild my system since then. It's in a file somewhere. I got it. It's in a file and on a backup somewhere or something. But
well, that picture's still good in black and white.
It's the same picture. Yeah, it's just
It grabbed me when I first saw it. I thought, dang. Yeah. I don't know even why I did, but it just kind of looked. Wow, awesome.
Well, at first you might want to think it's some kind of steam thing. Then you see all the coils and stuff. And then, like, the inner ring of coils, they're banks of two, it looks like, tied together. And that may be looping all the way around on the other side, may connect the two. In other words, it'd be a back-and-forth pattern all the way around it.
The front wheel would turn clockwise, and the back wheel would turn counterclockwise at half the speed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What does that produce?
Alternating current.
Wow.
Interesting. So you've never seen this before, Larry? This is the first
time? No, I've never. This is the first time I've seen this. And I'm looking at the building now with the two smokestacks. That would indicate that the way that they started it was with steam pressure.
Right.
And once it gets going, that system, I believe, will run by itself just like the magnetic opposing gear.
Right. Until something breaks.
Until something breaks. So you fire it up once and then let the fire go out and you got a machine.
Yeah. Okay.
But once again, that was what the Romans did 2,000 years ago.
How?
Get out of the steam power and go back to magnetic energy.
Oh.
Straight magnetic energy.
Right. Have you heard of John Keeley?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I don't know if I asked that before or not, but he was into harmonics.
Everything is harmonics.
Yeah, which comes down to frequencies, obviously.
Yeah, harmonics is frequencies.
Exactly.
And cycles per second, which is hertz. And there's a lot of different words that sort of come from the same base but mean different things.
Right. Well, he had a machine, supposedly, that he could play a harmonica and make it run.
Sympathetic vibration, just like two tunes.
Yeah, he knew the tune to play to make this machine run. And there's a lot of information behind it. I had Jerry Decker on a while back before he passed. and obviously. And that's the name of his website, KeeleyNet.com, where he has, I wonder if that's even still out there. Where are you?
When you've got more than one motors in a system, you've got to balance them harmonically.
Right.
Your circuits need to be balanced harmonically. The size and length of wire that you use to connect the components in your system have to be balanced harmonically with the system. You cannot use dirty power to power your system because that brings the bad harmonics from all your neighbors upstream between you and the power plant into your system and destroys the harmonics of your system.
Damn, they took his page down. Luckily, a bunch of people mirrored it. I don't know if you heard of that, KeeleyNet.com, Jerry Decker. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of Jerry Decker and Keeley. I've studied some of Keeley's work.
Yeah. Well, that was Jerry Decker's, what got him into the whole thing, and he's got a website, or had a website. It's no longer there, and he's no longer with us. But here's a mirror of this site. But I had Jerry on my show, the Smoke and Mirror Show. It's been over a year, I guess, or more.
Electromagnetism, exactly.
Yep. So it doesn't look like a lot, but every one of those categories is a giant repository of files and information.
There's a lot of information here.
Oh, it's going to the Wayback Machine. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but
Schauberger gave us a bunch of inspiration. Anything that water can do, magnetism can do. It's sort of they act exactly the same.
Yeah, I think it's all been stripped. Let's see if this one works. Ancient insights. Okay, that's working. Anyways, that's another place that has tons of. And I asked you the other day about Rex Research. You're familiar with him, right?
Yeah, I've seen some of his stuff, not much of it.
You've seen his site, Rex Research?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go in there every once in a while. He has a deal called Stuff and Stuff. It's his very update stuff. He's got a whole bunch of stuff on the viruses and stuff, too. Anyways.
Salt.
Salt.
NaCl, sodium chloride, salt.
Mm-hmm.
Sprinkle that on the inside of your breathing mask. Just put salt water on the inside of your breathing mask. Let it dry. Put it on. Salt will kill the virus.
Huh.
Quinine will kill the virus.
Colloidal silver?
Colloidal silver will kill the virus. I'm not giving medical information. I'm just stating facts.
Yep.
This is not something that we should be extremely worried about. Fewer people are going to die from it than die from the flu.
Do you want that last entry in Wire posted?
Well, let me just see which one you're talking about. Oh, not necessarily.
Okay. Well, I've got one I want. Larry, if you open this up, I'm posting something for you to look at in Wire.
Okay.
Because I don't know if this is real or true or not, but it seems believable. I wanted you to give me your input. If you think it's worth talking about it on the radio, do that. I'd love to hear your side of this, if you don't mind a little begging on my end. If this link is misleading in any way, for example.
Okay. It hasn't come up yet, but it will soon.
Okay, yeah. We're doing a lot of stuff with these computers right now. Not a problem there. But it's related to frequency. It's not like I'm asking you.
Frequencies that do certain particular things.
Oh, good. Yes. Are they right frequencies?
I'm not sure. It's basically, I'll read them off. 174 hertz removes pain. 285 hertz influences energy field. 396 hertz liberates you of fear and guilt. 417 hertz facilitates change. 432 is of nature.
Yes, yes, yes.
528 repairs DNA. 639 heals relationships.
If you'll look at that, that's all 3, 6, and 9. It's all, every one of them is 3, 6, and 9, like I've been telling everybody from day one. if your numbers come down to 3, 6, or 9, then they are in harmony with nature and not harmful and more than likely healthy.
Yeah. 741 awakens intuition. 852 attracts your soul tribe. 963 connect with light and spirit. So this is kind of an esoteric kind of new agey kind of labels.
Yeah, example. But is the reasoning behind what the numbers and the words represent seem to be true to me from what I've learned from you guys. And I just didn't want to put something on the show without your consent, approval.
This comes from the Hindu chakras from thousands of years ago.
Ta-da.
It's in all of the ancient religions. It's in the original words. It's in the Bible. Go to the Bible. Go to the Book of Numbers and translate all of Moses' people, his armies, and his flocks into real numbers. Find out what position on the compass that he made these groups, this 12 tribes, or 4 at each cardinal point of the compass. Those are transformer configurations and frequencies.
All right.
So this stuff is hidden in plain sight. It's buried in something that's supposed to be totally religious, and maybe it's got something to do with religion, but they were carrying on the knowledge.
Yeah, it was the knowledge embedded in the culture.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe the common people didn't understand it and had to have it as a religious thing so that they would remember it. But then they forgot why they were remembering it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a story I like to tell about that kind of thing. The guys and his wife, they're making a roast one day. And every time she made a roast, she cut the corners off of it. And he asked her, why do you cut the corners off? And she said, I don't know. That's just the way my mom always did it. That's how I learned how to do it. So she calls her mom up and says, Mom, how come we always cut the corners off the roast? She says, what? We cut the corners off the roast. You know, we always did that when it's... She said, oh, that's because my pan was small and I had to cut the corners off so it fit in the pan. Yeah. So, I mean, that just goes to show you do things out of tradition without knowing the original reasoning for it, and things tend to end up being nothing like what the original, and not even necessary or relevant to anything.
Well, that's because when you ask questions or doubt popular stories, you end up doing a dark table podcast on Saturday. Never mind. That was a joke, Rob.
I know.
But not enough people question shit.
Yeah.
But the people that do question shit, they're going to come here and they're going to question you. You.
Intruder alert. Killer dog.
Oh, yeah, that's Hannibal Lecter. Cirque's protector. Right. Man, I'm telling you, that's 25 pounds of fight to the death dog. And she doesn't have to. She just doesn't know that part. She's been practicing for battle every day, like Hansel. Practicing every day for battle that never comes. But, you know, she's a dog, so I let her play.
Better to be a warrior that farms than a farmer that needs to be a warrior.
Yeah. Well, I don't really expect any oncoming, you know, invasions to take over our land anytime soon. You know what I mean, Larry? There's a little bit of trouble in the traveling world right now.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm just so sad. Whoop.
Take another hit.
Right. Forgot your mute button, everybody.
I had both hands filled at the same time.
I got up another line.
It must have been funnier than hell, though. To see it, not to listen to it. But hey, the price you pay for free radio is sometimes we forget to mute. But you guys,
hey,
you brought up a lot of good stuff.
You'll never get this on any kind of mainstream crap.
No, and you brought up a lot of good stuff, and I didn't want to leave out my personal favorite. I always like Larry to gets all excited when I say Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. This is the third show you've done with Rob so far, right? So I figure you're going to maybe duplicate a few things, but you got a lot to say about Mr. Tesla.
Yeah, I do. He was great, and his stuff works, but his stuff's the wrong frequencies. There are some of his inventions, like the great huge pancake coil that was set up vertically that he sat next to. That's a healing coil, depending on what frequencies you put through it. That's a healing coil. That's a Rife device.
Okay.
So some of the stuff he did is really great, but the broadcast frequencies that he used were harmful. Those high frequency transformers, and in some of his patents, he puts the spark gap on the wrong side of the capacitor for you guys that's out there messing with it and can't get it to work. He was notorious for putting the spark gap on the wrong side of the capacitor. Just check that out.
Okay.
But yeah, Tesla, that's how the pyramids work. That's how Earth batteries work. A four-post Earth battery will power your house if you've got four coils to go with it. That's just the way it is. You get 50 volts per meter the farther away you go from Earth. Run your wire up a tree. Run your ground wire in. Have four ground posts, two different kinds of metal. It can be two steel and two copper, or two aluminum and two copper, or whatever.
Okay.
North and south is one kind of metal. East and west is another kind of metal. Wrap wire around that, round and round and round and round from each post. Start at number one, go all the way around them back to number one. Then go to number two, go all the way around once, back to number two. Three and four do the same thing until you go around that from each post nine times. That'll give you two wires sticking out at each post. Attach a coil, feed a coil with those wires. Those are dissimilar metals, just like a capacitor. They will provide a charge, and you can power the coils off of them. Our particular coils will boost up the amperage from it, and you can power your house from it. And the wire you ran up a tree will make a perfect antenna.
And Grimner interjects, that's the coil on the show logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that logo.
He just wanted to brag.
And Grimner, thank you so much. That is a beautiful logo.
He hit your hot spot, first shot.
Yeah, he did.
He's like a bow guy, with the bows and the arrows.
Doing. Grim's good like that. That's funny, Grim. Or Frumpy, actually. I was just about to ask you something, I forgot.
Well, that's what I'm doing. In the meantime, while Rob's looking for stuff, I'll entertain you with one of my Larry questions. Ready, Larry? All right. You brought up something that kind of out of nowhere. Tesla lived to be in his 80s.
Yeah.
And he mysteriously died, or is there a definitive death certificate that you're familiar with? What killed him?
Could he died of old age in a hotel room.
Right. Well, that's what we've read. Story.
Or broken heart, actually, is what they say.
I can believe that. We had a visit, and it broke my heart, and I was just destroyed for a long time until I realized I'm an old man. What can they do to me? You know, I'm ready for death. I've been dead before, and it's the best place I've ever been. I'm ready to go back. Screw them.
Right.
So give it to everybody.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Okay, here we go. I'll give it to everybody right now. It's a 9x18 vortex map pattern. That's two long and one wide. And your parallelograms as you're plotting out your toroidal shape. The only toroidal shapes that are functional are the moat that allow for the most expansion of the magnetic field have a 2-inch hole, which provides 3-inch rings, and that gives you an 8-inch outside diameter. If you maintain that 2-3-8 ratio, you can step that up in size.
That was a question I had, because you said your other coil is an 18-inch coil, and that doesn't mesh with the...
It's 17 and something. I just say 18 because I can't remember the 17.
Well, if you double 2-3-8, you come up with 4-6-16.
It's the 2-3-8 ratio, not doubling it.
Well, that would be ratio. That would be the same ratio if you doubled it.
It may be 16.
So if you start with a 2-inch center and you go to a 4-inch center, that means you need a 6-inch outer ring.
Yeah,
which gives you 2 × 6 = 12, and 4 = 16.
Okay. Yeah, we got our next size up has got a 3-inch hole in it. That's why it's keep calling it 18.
So a 3-inch hole would be 1.5 times, so it'd be 3-6. That's 15.
No. Wait. It's not 1.5. That's not right.
3. And
6 and 6 is
3 12. And 4. 3 and 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
3 and 4.5. So that'd be 9 and.
It's 18. Yeah, that's the 18.
That's still not right in my head. That's okay. I'm not disputing it. I was just wondering how that math came out.
Yeah, the 2-3-8 ratio works out. that happened to be the same size as the dolerite toroid that Michael Tellinger took through customs that blew up the x-ray machine, and it was a rock, a dolerite rock.
Oh.
And that's what I think went on top of the pyramid to magnify the frequency coming out of the pyramid so that
gotcha.
They get a high frequency instead of a low frequency.
Uh-huh.
But going on to the coils. When you wrap your coils, hold your hand out flat. Your fingers don't overlap. Your fingers don't wrap around one another. Neither should your wire. You should
right.
not have a layer of wire on top of another layer of wire. All of your wire needs to be laid out straight, one right next to the next one. That way, the magnetic field created in each wire will interact with the magnetic field of the wire next to it, creating a stronger magnetic field. It's like stacking magnets.
Right.
Then that circuit runs clockwise. The circuit next to it runs counterclockwise, and on each side of it, you have an empty space. You have circuit one, circuit two, and circuit three is empty. Circuit four and circuit five and circuit six is empty. Seven and eight and nine is empty. You do this all the way around. So
right.
that way, the magnetic field travels the same direction in both positive and negative charge.
Okay.
Which creates a perfect vortex inside of the ring of the torus that circulates. And the 12 circuit coil has three of these that are going round and round and round in the ring of that donut. And that increases the magnetic field in the center, which magnetically reduces the resistance of the wire so that it can carry more amperage and less heat. There's your coil explanation for today. You should be able to build one.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Okay. Why would you say that, Rob? Is it that
it sounds easy, but when you go to actually doing it,
firing pattern is in the ABBA symbol. The 1-2-4-8-7-5 symbol.
I get all this. It's just
if you'll put and it's on the columns of Solomon's temple. 1-4-7. If you connect those on that, it makes an equilateral triangle.
I remember.
2-8-5. If you connect those, that makes an equilateral triangle. All of these coils, if you did them flat instead of wrapped around a torus, they would be equilateral triangles that circulated around the coil.
Right.
So you just put them around the
coil. Taking a flat coil and made it 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what gauge of wire are you working with most with these coils? Is there a certain gauge you're using, or is it varied?
Our little ones, we used 22-gauge wire on that's good for 0.9 amps and got 30 amps at 3 volts out of it. That's 0.46 ohms of material of copper, which 1 volt through 1 ohm yields 1 amp in normal stuff. In ours, it's 1 volt through 0.46 ohms yields 10 amps. So we get 10 amps a volt.
Right.
And that much wire with 30 amps going through it on a standard coil started a fire on a 2x4 at 3.5 minutes. At 30 minutes, ours got up to 120 degrees and stopped climbing. At 45 minutes, it was still up to 120 degrees centigrade, and that's got 200 degrees centigrade. It was centigrade, and it's got 200 degrees centigrade wire on our insulation on the wire.
Oh,
it may have been Fahrenheit. You may be right. Yeah,
last time you told me Fahrenheit.
Yeah, it was.
But your insulation is rated in Celsius. But you said it was 120 degrees Fahrenheit is what the temperature was.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys know the formula to identify centigrade and Fahrenheit? You know what I mean? Well, say how you transfer one to the other. It's really simple.
3/5 times.
Whatever. No. You take, say, 10 Fahrenheit to figure it out, or 10 centigrade in Fahrenheit. You go 10 twice, you double it to 20, and then you add 30. So whatever the number is, if it's 17, you double 17, you add 30. You come up with Fahrenheit.
Oh.
60.
I learned that when I was over here in the, faraway lands.
And now you're really smart.
Well, no, it's just that I can do both of them. So I know how they relate.
Larry, on the Hallback array, I wanted to ask you, what configuration? Is that a ring or how is that?
It's a circular Hallback array with some of them in at angles, some of them in square, and some of them singles. It puts out more of a positive pole than a negative pole the way we've got it set up.
Okay. I thought the positive being north and negative being south?
Yeah.
I thought South Pole was supposedly the stronger.
South Pole is the strongest one, but for the resonance, it takes the North Pole.
Okay. So you've got a ring-shaped Hallback array. So I'm thinking, and you got mixed wedges and squares, so I'm thinking 4 wedges and 4 squares?
There's 12 of them all together.
Okay. Yeah. But alternating wedge-square?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you use the standard Hallback array pattern, down to left, right type pattern. Okay.
Yeah. And that sets up a harmonic resonance with the coil, with the geometry of the coil, so that we get 12 volts AC without that even moving. And in my experience, you've got to have the magnet's got to move past a conductor in order to generate.
Right.
In this case, it's using the subatomic frequency.
It's using the magnetic river.
Yeah. Yeah.
The movement of the magnetic field.
And normally a generator will give you DC and has to go through an inverter to get AC. This gives you 12 volts AC.
Now you drop this down into the center of your coil.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, you said it'll float there?
Yeah. It stays there.
It magnetically just levitates inside the ring.
You're talking about the center of the rotating with the rotating core in it. That's the one that stays there. This just sits in it and doesn't require any movement. It will fall out if you turn it over.
Okay, so it's just set, so like you got your ring sitting on the table and you drop this whole array down and it sits on the table too. So it's basically on the bottom.
Yeah, it's in line with the equator of the center.
Okay, so you've got a stand or something that holds it up in the center.
It's on a 3D printed form that fits in the hole and holds it in the right place.
Okay, yeah. Details. These are the details that.
Yeah. And you can take that idea and put a V gate, put V magnets, magnets in a V shape around the inside of a circle that you put inside the hole in the donut. And that V gate, when you put a multi-pole cylinder magnet inside of it, that will float and rotate, and that also generates in these coils.
Okay.
But that gives you a much higher frequency, and you have to have a frequency modulation board in it to get usable power out of it. You get 54 cycles, so it'll run your 50 and 60 cycle equipment.
Wow. You know, it really sounds simple to me about this all. is...
It is simple.
Well, not it's that, no.
Everybody can do it.
Well, how I mean it's simple is that if you don't look for shortcuts and easy ways out, you just follow the recipe, like cooking something.
Yeah.
This is what I'm hearing from you guys, because you tell Rob something, he's writing it down, calculating, and then it makes sense to him. He's seeing what you're telling him. But I don't quite get all this stuff, but I get you do.
It's simple if you've built one already.
Yeah, duh. Yeah.
I would like to say that because of the pattern, it's real tedious work and takes a long time for each circuit. You got to wrap around 9 times for each circuit. That creates a triple Mobius with each circuit. That's what creates the spin in the vortex. You're making tornadoes with this thing. Making tornadoes out of magnetic field. That's all we've done is learned how to control the magnetic field.
Ah, that's a nice way to put it, too, because it's not something we're all familiar with using. But we all have these, you know, magic boxes that communicate. You can stand in Denmark and talk to, you know, Paris at the end of your hand. And nobody thinks you're insane when you do it, so...
I'm going to step away for a second. I'll be right back.
Hey, but you know, all these magical things that are going on, it just strikes me this would make more sense to more people than it does.
There's a lot of folks that are dabbling in this, but the guys that are really making the progress, some of them don't have an extensive electrical background, and they're missing a few of the basic things, like magnetic fields can't cross themselves anywhere other than 90 or 180 degrees. If they do, that collapses the magnetic field and destroys the coil. Then you've got a good heater. So don't twist your wires.
Well, how is this different from the way things are right now? What would improve if we could use this new coil? That's what I'm... what's the simplest way to put it for me? Because I understand some of it, but not all. Like, the detail of Rob, no. But I get the basic ideas of this stuff.
Okay, a regular coil now, the way it's made... They wrap a bunch of copper round and round and round a chunk of iron that has 90-degree corners on it. And that chunk of iron, when that copper is energized, that chunk of iron saturates magnetically and limits what that thing can do. It can only do one thing at a time. These coils with it's limited to the amperage and voltage that it can handle. These coils are not limited like that because they're multi-circuit. First of all, if you're putting 30 amps through 12 circuits, that's divided by 12. So it's not even 2 amps a circuit.
And then the delivery is on a good harmony, right?
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
there's no waste and damage. How do you... Yeah.
We've eliminated the eddy currents, which is a place that causes heat.
Yeah.
And the heat makes it draw more amperage to operate, which costs you more money. So we've eliminated that part. We've dumped that core. Not only that, if you're switching, putting high frequency through it, an iron core will limit the frequencies that you can put through it. You can put unlimited frequencies through these things. With a copper backplate, you've got a speaker that will take as high a note as you can put through it or as low a note as you can put through it without breaking. They're perfect pitch. There's no frequency distortion through these coils like there is through a normal coil.
How long, what's the expectancy of a coil to last? Is there a general in that? Is there like a standard to go by?
Well, let's figure it out.
I don't know. I've never thought of it before.
Let's use plastic for the donut. Okay, how long does plastic last? That'll last about 100 years and then it gets real brittle and breaks up. Okay, so there's 100 years. If you came up with something that wouldn't do that, let's go to the most things that will break. That would be the frequency modulation board that gives you 54 cycles so that you can operate your equipment with it. That board will probably burn out in 5 years. It costs $2.50 and it's a plug and play board. You unplug it and plug a new one in. So that's every 5 years you're going to have to do maintenance on a thing. Other than that, you've got the magnets. It's just three things. It's the plastic, the magnets, and the modulation board. And the magnets, they'll last 300 or 400 years. So you've got a 5-year deal to start with at $2.50 every 5 years.
So the answer to your question is long enough.
Yeah. It'll outlive you.
It'll outlive you. Yeah.
We only want one-time customers unless you want to buy more, you know, more generators. Because you should never have to come back to us except to get the board. It'd be the only time we ever see you, and we can mail that out.
Hell, you should sell 20 of them with every coil anyway.
No.
Just give them a case of boards.
Yeah, here's your lifetime supply. Put it next to the generator.
At 250, what's that, 50 bucks?
Yeah.
$50 for a lifetime supply board.
The That's Electric Hermit.
You're welcome. No charge.
Yeah. Not only that, these things will weigh less than 100 pounds.
Yeah.
That means that you leave your refrigerator and freezer door shut over the weekend, unplug your house, and take this thing in the trunk of your car for your weekend outing.
I know. Oh, I've been dreaming about all the possibilities. The marine applications are just insane.
A helicopter that never has to land. A car that you never have to put new batteries in or charge from a power plant. If everybody was to go to an electric car, how many thousands of new power plants would they have to build to give you that power? That's stupid. How many thousands of dollars is it going to cost you every 5 years to replace those big, expensive batteries? And that's every 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, so an electric car is not a smart thing the way they're doing it now.
Not the way they've got it, no.
Put a capacitor system in there that starts the car rolling. Put magnets around every rotating surface in the car with a toroidal coil around that. Once your car is rolling, it recharges your initial power bank and charges another one so that when you get where you're going, you can plug into the building and charge it from your car. It's that simple.
Well, that might be simple to you, but I gave up driving about 8 years ago. And now I've tried to stay out of cars, but every once in a while something happens and I need to get in.
Yeah.
But not very often, like once every year or two, something will come up. So, the car thing doesn't really do much for me. But the rest of it does.
What about it's not just the car. It's everything. I mean, it's
self-powered refrigerator, self-powered freezer, washing machine.
Yeah.
Everything has its own power supply. Computers that don't have to have fans in them because the coils don't heat up.
See, Brian, that's the
ability
it
to build a house anywhere in the world and have power.
Yeah.
Including out in the middle of a damn ocean. You want to build a city out in the ocean? Go for it.
No.
Well, these what they call the Seasteading Institute people.
That's
exactly what they need.
Larry, are you familiar with that Nebraska farmer that grows citrus underground using the heat of the planet to heat his underground garden?
You betcha.
Okay. Because you know an incredible amount about food besides the electric. I thought maybe you might want to switch gears for a minute. I don't know.
Yeah. if you go 6 foot deep underground and cover that, that will give you 54 degrees year round.
Yeah.
Year round. So just get below the frost level by at least 3 feet wherever you're at.
Oh.
The frost level is something that you can find out from your local utility company.
Well, a lot of us can't just dig and start doing shit like that. I'd hit water pipes or something and get me in Cirque and all kinds of trouble out there.
Take two pieces of wire, 18 inches long each. Put a 90 degree in them, about 6 inches on one end. Hold them loosely in your hand with them pointing straight out. When you cross a water line, a power line, or anything metal, those will cross.
Wow.
In water, those will cross.
Wow. Anything conductive.
Yep.
Have you heard of Tesla's electric car?
Yeah.
What do you know about that? Because the description I read is he had a box. It was about 12 inches long, and it had several vacuum tubes on it, and he had this rod he would put into it. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Are you familiar with a Wawa stick?
No.
Like a...
Is this Nikola Tesla's...
Like a musician's pedal?
Yep.
Rob, Nikola Tesla's car or... Tesla.
Yes, Nikola Tesla, the original Tesla, the only real Tesla.
All right. Well, you said car, and I'm sorry, sir. I got confused. Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Back in the early 60s, there was an electrified rod that stuck straight up in the air that musicians used to play music on.
Yeah.
When you put your hand
Peter Frampton.
Close to it. Yeah, there you go. It's the same.
Oh, no, that was the tube.
It's the same principle as that. It's a frequency system that is powered by a 12-volt battery generally, and that frequency system would then, as he put objects close to it, would generate electricity for his car. That's another thing. Everything is about frequency.
Yeah,
you can do everything that there is. Either frequency or no frequency at all.
Oh, how do you achieve no frequency at all on purpose?
That's flatline DC from a battery.
Is there a physical way to do that? Because I read we're vibrating all the time in ways we have no control over in the first place.
Okay, everything vibrates at a subatomic frequency. But flatline DC, you're not talking about the subatomic, you're talking about the visible forms, and that is just a straight line on your oscilloscope.
Yeah,
it has no pulses to it. It just constant power. It's always on or always off.
Like me,
right? Yeah, right. Frequency is when you turn it on and off a bunch of times.
Okay, and that's the same, because I'll go to sleep, and I'm quiet. Then I wake up, and I'm loud and aggressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the frequency I'm on. Is there a number for that one?
Yeah, Grandpa's asking, what's in the box?
I got it.
That's what I was going to ask you, Larry. What? Sorry. Back to my Tesla car thing.
Yeah. There you go.
The box that he had.
Yeah, it would be a battery of some sort. And a frequency generator, and it would have some sort of control on it so that you could adjust it.
Okay, well, whatever he had it said, the description I read was he would take this box, he would hook it up to the car, he'd put the rod in it, set the box down, turn the car on and drive.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this car would do like 0 to 60 and not like real super fast, whatever. It had like a 300 horsepower electric motor in it.
Yep. It'll do 0 to 60 just as soon as you can turn that rheostat.
Yeah. It's
when you give it full load power.
When the tire stops spinning.
Yeah, it's wind up time, and then you're gone.
Yeah. That's always been a fascinating thing that I read many years ago as well. To me.
There's lots of stuff out there that can be done now. They're making an electric plane that uses magnetism. In fact, our stealth bombers, they put a negative charge on the bottom side of those wings.
Mm-hmm.
That creates a repulsion from the earth. Those okay. things can float.
Man.
Okay.
All this great stuff and the best shit they can make
yeah.
is bombers. That's disappointing. Yeah. I'm telling you.
And we're still driving around in CME cars.
Yeah, I'm a very sad little dork now. Thanks, guys.
You should be driving a car that's about 3 feet off the ground right now.
Now, see, yeah, if I would
be driving hover drones.
But if I just stay stupid, then how could I be upset?
Just go to today's system yeah. and learn that new math.
I think it is.
That's another hint for all you freaks out there, all you geeks out there. Hindu math.
What's that?
Hindu math. The way they teach algebra and square roots and cube roots and multiplication
okay.
and division. Studied the way the Hindus do it, there are some super easy tricks to math.
Do you have
that we were never taught in this country?
Do you have sources, or just write that Hindu math into the notes, and you can explain?
I think Hindu math will do it.
Okay, thanks. I just want to be sure because you guys are way more smarter than me. Remember,
Indian mathematics.
Okay, now. Rob says Indian. Do I change it?
Well, that's Hindi.
Yeah, Hindi. H-I-N-D-I.
Okay. I had you.
Or
okay.
H-I-N-D-I.
H-I-N-D-I. No. I'm changing it. Hindi math.
What about Vedic math?
Vedic math is what it's called, Vedic math.
Okay. So I'll just dot, and capital V?
Yeah.
Vedic. What is Vedic math?
Vedic.
Math shortcuts for fast calculations in Hindi. Cool math tricks.
Oh, okay. Rob's posting a link in the RLM chat. I think I'll copy and put that in the notes here. How's that, guys?
Yeah.
I'll pop that in the wire so Larry can.
Wow. You covered quite a bit of territory tonight, too.
Yeah, I just love talking about all this stuff.
Well, what's the most
kind of stuff I live for?
Okay, what's the most important step that needs to be taken to make this a physical machine that you can actually do something with?
Kick Larry in the ass, get him publish that shit.
Ouch. Kicked him in the
nuts.
That's not right.
I'm just kidding, Larry.
You're supposed to drop a coil, not a Larry.
Yeah. What we're doing right now is we're writing up the safety manuals.
Right.
We're writing up the how-to manuals, and there's got to be a spec book on it. And to be perfectly honest, there's a whole bunch of us working on it, and some people have different kind of test equipment than some other people. We're all poor.
Uh-huh.
So once somebody tests and finds something out, we add that to the list, and then somebody else finds something else out. We change the style, the pattern just a little bit, and something new and amazing happens, and we write all that down. One of the guys has created two different kinds of coils, all with similar geometry, and they are doing amazing things. One of them is a 9-circuit coil that will be like a bowl magnet to magnify the output of the existing coils. So it goes right down into the hole in the donut and does its thing, increasing the magnetic field even more.
Wow.
So there's
yeah, at some point you just gotta, you know, say, okay, here's what we got. Let's wrap this and then we'll do updates or something.
Yeah.
But you know, it's something, because I mean, how much time do we got, really?
Yeah.
Years.
You know, at some point we need to have it. Now, the next question is, you're going to put the instruction manual, the safety manual, the spec sheets, and all that out as open source.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not going to be selling that part of it.
Right. We will sell kits, and for those of you who try to wind the coil and find out it's too tedious, we'll sell coils.
Pre-made coils.
Yeah, yeah. Pre-made coils. A kit could be just a spool of wire and a donut, basically. That's and a circuit board.
Right.
But once these things are going, everybody will be able to make one. With the new 3D form that we've got, the printed form, there's a line that tells you where to start.
Yeah.
And, you know, just follow the line, and each wire lays right next to the one before it. So, you know, it's monkey proof.
Yeah. That's great. Will you be publishing the 3D drawings?
Yeah. Yeah, also the 3D program for printing the toroidal shapes.
Uh-huh.
Those will be published.
Okay,
there will be a teaching manual as well that's being written right now.
Right, the instruction manual. Yeah.
Well, this is a little bit more than how to build the coil. This is more like why the coil works.
The theory of it behind it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The unit you're talking about, selling kits and full built units ready to go with all the bells and whistles and gauges and lights and stuff, that's based on your 18-inch coil?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a 5-kilowatt coil with 16-gauge wire on it.
16-gauge, okay.
Yeah, 16-gauge wire is good for 10 amps.
Okay.
Which means you can't even run your garbage disposal off of it, supposedly.
Right.
Well, we'll be getting a whole lot more than that out of it.
Yeah. So that 3D print for that 18-inch donut would require at least an 18-inch 3D printer?
No, sir. We've got an 8-inch 3D printer, and that's 5 different printings.
Okay, so you print it out in sections?
Yeah.
It's exactly what I wanted to know, because I'm just about ready to pull the trigger on a 3D printer, so.
Yeah, we print it out in sections that snap together.
Okay,
There's
cool.
been a lot of work done on this. One guy is printing it in wood.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, he grinds his wood up and puts it in with a polymer and has made them out of wood. The reason being that, do you know what doping is?
Electrically speaking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know what it is. I mean, I'm not sure what...
Doping is generally an electrolysis process that puts a coating on the wire, a nano coating on the wire, to make the wire more conductive.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
When we put these down with hot glue, that's not organic, and that dopes the wire with a specific kind of material after it's been used for a while.
Right.
Some of this is better than others. If you do it with something that's organic, that means that there's absolutely nothing involved with the coil that will be harmful. These non-organic dopings can eventually emit some sort of a chemical or something into the air that is not really healthy.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
because even at 120 degrees, that's enough to boil off some stuff.
Yeah, that's going to put out the bad stuff, the bad vapors from the wire.
Right. Now, you had said you were looking at, what was it?
Beeswax.
You were looking at wax, beeswax.
Yeah, beeswax.
Beeswax.
That's an organic compound.
Right.
Beeswax from wood is going to be, I think, the way to do it. And then we'll just, if the beeswax melts off because you've got a hot room, then we could put straps on it after the beeswax holds it in place.
Right. Once you've got it wound.
Yeah. Once it's wound.
And everything's in place and you got it nice and tight, you shouldn't have any trouble. But I'm curious about this printing of the wood. Is that done through a regular type 3D printer?
Yeah. Yeah. His extruder is extruding the really ground up fine powdered wood with the polymer in it.
Huh. And so he creates a string with that, like the regular plastic stuff that you feed through the 3D printer?
Uh-huh.
That's interesting. Now, you're not printing the donuts up as a solid piece, are you?
No, absolutely not.
That would be, I was thinking that'd be a way. How thick walls are they? Generally.
I think there's three or four layers thick.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, it doesn't take much.
Not even a millimeter?
Yeah. Well, no, I guess it would be more than that.
I mean, a layer of the 3D printing stuff is paper thin.
I would think that I really don't know. It doesn't look like it's very thick at all to me. It looks like about a 1/16 of an inch.
Okay. Well, that's real thin.
But it doesn't have to be strong because you're not going to be putting any tension.
Yeah, there's no stress on it.
Yeah.
I get it. Other than longevity, as far as, you know.
Yeah, I suppose the thicker you made it, the longer it would last.
Yeah.
But you can make it honeycomb inside if that was your problem.
So I wouldn't be wasting my money if I ordered an 8-inch 3D printer, is my point.
No, you'd be able to print these, yeah.
Okay, good. That's what I was curious, because you get over that, and
if you start
getting in the big bucks.
If you wait till November, whoever the Democrats elect as president will give you one for free.
Yeah, I'll hold my breath on that. And,
Joe Biden's running with
coronavirus. Plan my retirement.
Yeah, with Michelle.
No,
with Michael.
The coronavirus.
Oh.
Or Jesus, whichever one shows up first. But see, it's all beautiful. They're setting it. I mean, even Trump's going to vote for Biden because he don't want the job anymore.
I heard that.
Can't fly anywhere. He can't go golfing. Oh, poor president. He's going to go back to being a billionaire and hide out like Howard Hughes. Fight.
Yeah.
Going to go hunt and snipe.
He can pound sand like the rest of them, as far as I'm concerned.
I want him to go hunt.
They're all worthless.
Hunting some snipe in the Alps. With who's that crack shot guy? What was his name? Dick Cheney.
Oh.
You know, if you really, really love somebody, send them hunting with Dick Cheney. That's with a C.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney loves everybody. I mean, that was his friend he shot, by the way. So he wasn't trying to kill him. He just wanted to shoot him.
I think he was drunk. He fell down and his gun went off.
I think he's a freaking killer guy. If you wanted him dead, he would have killed him. He didn't want to kill him. He wanted to shoot him.
He just wanted to shoot him in the face.
A political moment in the favor. Hey, let me shoot you in the face, man. Do you love me, man?
Yeah.
Come on, man. This is only going to hurt for a minute, man.
Another Tesla question.
Loyalty.
Yeah. I mean, really, think These people are out of control. Look what they've done in the last couple of weeks. I'm going to get the flu and die, Larry. Oh, Larry, I got to find Jesus.
Yep. Our cough. I'm going to have to go to the hospital.
Joe Biden's going to run with Jesus for the White House against Trump. And Trump's going to vote for Biden. Please take this job.
I want none of the above on the ballots. And if none of the above gets more votes, they got to start again.
I don't care which one it is. They all suck.
Yep.
Go ahead.
The lesser of two evils.
Seriously, yeah. And
renders you evil.
Neither one.
Trump is the figurehead that they put in there to prove that the corporations ruled the world.
Pretty much. Good point.
Yeah. Do you remember another story about Tesla, Larry? About a little device. It's a small device. And it was a little brass hammer that he could tune to tap at certain frequencies. And he could put this thing on a bar of steel and set it to going, and it would set up an actual resonance and shatter a bar of steel just using the tapping of this hammer device.
I'm not familiar with that specific device, but I have done that on concrete block.
Okay.
If you take a sledgehammer and hit a concrete block real hard, that'll shatter it.
Right.
If you take a little bitty hammer and sit there and keep tapping over and over and over on the same spot, pretty soon that spot will fall out.
Right.
Same principle. That's the difference between high frequency and low frequency.
Yeah, the story goes he took this device and attached it to a beam of a building and set it to going. And in about 10 minutes, the whole building was waving back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
It was resonating that whole building. I wish I could remember where I read all this stuff. This is a book I had.
Mechanical engineers and electrical engineers.
That has to do with the claim that he made he could split the earth in half. You've heard that one?
Yep.
By exploding like 14 tons of TNT every 14 minutes or something for 2 weeks, he could split the earth in half.
Mm-hmm.
Same principle, yeah. Basically calculated on the time of a shockwave. You set off an explosion, the shockwave would go to the other side of the earth and bounce back, and then you set off another explosion at the exact instant that shockwave returns, and it magnifies it each time, and in 2 weeks, it would be strong enough to split the earth in half.
Yep. Yep. It's not how hard you hit something, it's how fast you hit it.
Yeah.
Mass times.
Well, it's not even how fast, it's timing, it's frequency.
Yeah.
It's like if you take a piece of PVC pipe, get a 12-foot piece of 2-inch PVC pipe, and you set it up on blocks on each end. And you get in the middle and you just tap it. And you tap it. And every time it comes right back up, you tap it again right at the same time, every time. It's not about speed. It's about keeping that resonance going. And every time you tap it, it gets a little more wild as far, you know,
mm-hmm.
It bends a little more every time. But you can. It's like, this is right up here. You take a fishing pole and you shake it. If you shake it back and forth, you set up a wave in that fishing pole. If you do that hard enough and long enough, you can actually break a fishing pole in half.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the resonance of it.
Especially with the graphite poles they got these days.
Yeah, they're more brittle.
Yeah.
These are the things that fascinate me.
Me too.
Sorry, I didn't mean to step all over that political bullshit you were...
That's why it was political and bullshit is covered the whole thing.
I get tired of that shit real quick.
Yep.
I got no time for that kind of speculation.
Yep. Each side trying to make the other side hate
it. Yeah, it's a popularity contest to see which bobblehead's going to read the script next.
You got it. They're all controlled by the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Anyways.
Speaking of fishing, we have now got 8-ounce spinner baits with changeable blades on them.
Oh.
And I anticipate catching a lot of crappie this year on those. I love to eat crappie.
Yeah, crappie's good eating.
Yep.
From what I understand. I won't eat it unless I caught it.
Yeah.
I don't eat seafood that I didn't pull out of the water.
Yeah, I agree.
Except for shrimp.
Well, yeah.
I'll eat shrimp.
Oh, hey, guys.
You're back with us.
The interrupter. Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was muted. But we got 10 minutes, and I wanted to go over the notes verbally.
Okay.
That way, if you guys want me to add or take something out, I can.
Okay.
But we'll do it live. We called tonight's episode is... Wait a minute. I have to go to the top here. State of the Art Energy Part 3. Okay, I guess that works. And
yeah.
I said, and this is what I wrote for notes. Larry and Rob spoke about the coronavirus. And then speaking of pyramids, it's all about who has the power and where there were YouTube links to pyramid power. Micro and macro circuitry from the Mayans to the Japanese to the Egyptians. And there's a link about it, I believe. And there's Fordlandia that Rob brought up. Then there's the Ford generator, 1920s. There's a link to that. And then it was Let's Talk Harmonics and Frequencies, and there was another link we threw in. Talking Tesla, how long does the coil last? Nikola Tesla's electric car, Hindu math, Vedic math. A link to the math, and then you guys spent the last bit talking about making a coil is a step at a time, and other gizmos and gadgets. And that's what I got for notes for you guys tonight.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, you got 10 minutes left. I just wanted to get my shit out of the way so you could have the end of the show.
Yeah, that's cool. It's up to you, Larry. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah. Let's go fishing.
Fishing. Oh, yeah. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Supposedly there's a lot of crappie down here in Lake Wachita.
Oh, yeah, you bet there is. They got some big crappie there. You can catch a 2 or 3 pounder out of that lake.
Nice.
Yeah, those are nice slabs of good meat.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
I'm always ready. There's a new device out, been out for a couple of years now, called a HydroWave. And that is a device that puts the feeding frenzy into the fish. The Japanese and their fish farming found out that fish will be made to eat when you play the musical note E in any octave.
Really?
Yeah. So they just, when they want to feed the fish, they play E and the fish eat. Which is the same principle that this HydroWave does. It puts that frequency into the water. That draws the fish, makes them want to eat. It also has a clicking sound, which is the sound a crawdad makes underwater when it snaps its pincer shut.
Huh.
So they're really functional devices. With our lures and that device, I caught some of the biggest fish last year than I have for a long time.
Interesting.
It's a good lake that I go to, but I don't normally catch anything but the little ones up to about 3 pounds. And I was catching 5 and 6 pound fish right along last year.
Nice.
That's the HydroWave, and I don't get any money for advertising it. It's just a good product.
Yeah. Well, so that's basically what, an underwater speaker that plays an E-tone?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it is.
Okay.
Puts out that frequency. Also, a little tip for you fishermen, leave your trolling motor on or off. The fish spook when you turn it on, and the fish spook when you turn it off.
Uh-huh. Hear that, sock puppet? he's the channel fisherman.
No.
He's out in Florida.
Got some good fish.
Yeah, he's got some good places and opportunities and stuff like that.
We used to get on the Crystal River just above Dunellen and catch bass as the tide was going out and take us out into the Gulf, and we'd catch speckled trout, and then the tide would come back in, we'd catch bass on the way back to the home.
Nice.
That was a fun trip.
Yeah. My buddy Dave wants to go deep sea fishing again.
Oh, that's a ball.
Yeah. That's the exciting kind of fishing. If they're biting, it can be really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like saltwater fishing. You never really know what you're going to catch.
30-minute battle trying to get a fish in.
Yep.
Dan, out of the three of us, I'm the gardener? Oh, man.
Yep.
Jeez.
Yo, sod hopper.
Well, elderberries will cure a cold.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of stuff about elderberry lately.
That's possum grapes for all you country folk out there.
Possum grape.
Possum grapes. Yeah. That's
what we've always called them.
Grammy's your farming buddy, Flash.
Oh, I know. And then Circa's the try this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've tried growing just one plant to see what it would be and how it would work. Yeah, she grew cucumbers last year.
Yeah.
But that was a big, man, that's a big plant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a vine. It grows.
Yeah. Who knew? I'm from L.A. I didn't know that. I thought you got cucumbers
you
plant
them next to a lattice or something so you have something for them to grow up on.
No, yeah. I thought you went and got your cucumbers down at the grocery store.
You can do that. Chocolate milk comes out of a brown cow.
I seen a link about that today. You know, why do you grow food? What for? You can go to the store and get it.
You can't go to the store and get that kind of food.
I thought it was a joke. It was a joke. Oh, it was a joke. Anyway.
Beans too, you want to put with your cucumbers on the last.
Okay, well, that brings us up to the end of the third episode of what is now called Dropping a Coil. But the series, I kind of named it myself, and I went along with that. So I'm glad that you guys give me a little, you know, freedom to play with this stuff. But you did a good show tonight. I learned a lot of stuff. I just don't really, you know, it's forming. I can't teach anybody what I haven't done, but I get the ideas. And you bring up a lot of interesting names in history.
Yeah.
Or you answer the questions. So. If you got anything for these folks to hear, you got 2 minutes left of guaranteed time before I shut it off.
Personally, I can't wait to see you guys publish your patent and instruction manual and all that.
Yeah, that's coming. It's probably be a year yet, but we're getting there.
Oh, man. It was 6 months last time we talked.
Well, the educational process.
You're killing me, man. I can't wait a year. Can I get on the inside track or something?
The educational process for 12 different guys is kind of...
Yeah, I get it. Well, but damn,
plus, man. You're not allowed to travel or touch anything anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of put a crimp in inventing anything. Just if you know, my opinion.
Anyways, so a year. Huh? Damn.
From a last statement, you folks was going to be trapped in your house with all your school kids. Teach them Vedic math. It's a fun game to play. It's easy. It's really, really easy.
Yeah.
Math doesn't have to be hard.
No.
This is easy and
no, they make it hard on purpose.
Yeah.
They don't want smart people. They want people that are just smart enough to work and just dumb enough to bend over for it.
With Vedic math, you can do a cube root in your head as fast as you see the number.
And I threw the link that you posted in the show notes.
Cool.
So there was a lot of knowledge and stuff tonight, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Anyway, I'm going to shut this down.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Larry!
Thanks for having me here, guys.
Oh, yeah. And we'll see you this time. Same bat time, same bat channel.
You betcha. See you next week.